On this week's episode, we bring in aviation expert Ryan Anko.
I've played Grand Theft Auto, and I've flown a lot of planes on that.
Oh, well, so you are a pilot then.
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody else needs to be here.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
You've driven tanks too, probably, I'm sure.
Yeah, shot cops.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, who hasn't done that? Yeah. Beat up hookers. All sorts of things.
In honor of Clarkson's Farm Season 2, we discuss which field you should pick for a suitable emergency landing site.
Don't use don't use corn, obviously. But
why not use corn?
Corn would slow you down.
I want
corn. Well, actually, yeah, you're right.
Oh, use
don't use a chisel plowed field.
Why not?
Oh, you would flip.
You'd flip.
Unless
you're right in line with the grooves.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll be
you
all
ever,
right.
You ever drive through a chisel plowed field? It's not smooth. Anko, have you ever driven through a chisel plowed field?
You know, one time I did. I was in your brother's truck. We were all in it. It was late.
Were you there? I was probably in it.
I had probably just hit a building with a plow. And
I was there.
I was really tired. We decided to go fielding, and I pulled into the wrong field at 60.
Yeah. It was fine.
Everything worked out.
We didn't flip.
No, everything was fine.
Well, the people in the truck bed were not fine.
The people in the bed.
There was people in the truck bed.
They didn't like it.
They did not enjoy that at all.
I'm not sure if they knew it was going to happen.
No, I don't think any, if I recall, I don't think anybody knew it was going to happen.
I don't know if I did.
Okay.
So how deep are the furrows on a chisel plowed field?
It can be pretty deep.
How deep is
like a foot?
Like a foot.
At least.
Yeah. Like that. A 150, if that nose wheel hits it.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Far Aim Podcast. This should be episode 19 or 129, I'm guessing. Just pure guess. No idea what, but that's my assumption. We're going to do 50-foot threshold. This is a during a landing types thing. There's some nuance to this, Mr. Griffin. I personally don't know anything about this. Mr. Boris, are you familiar with the 50-foot threshold? All this...
No.
All this thought process that goes behind at 50-foot altitude off of the ground, AGL, that you need to be at when you're about to land?
No. What do you want? You want everything I'm doing at 50-foot?
Like, is that kind of what it is? I was just gonna.
It's mostly for takeoff, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, takeoff.
Yeah.
Oh, this is we are on opposite of
takeoff. I'm just
when I think of 50-foot barrier speed, that is typically a takeoff type configuration. But 50-foot on final is an important step as well.
Yeah, that's what the. I know we've had some requests to go over.
So let's do it right now.
Okay, Mr. Boris. 50 feet high going in to land. Where you at? Obviously, you're 50 feet high.
Yeah.
Because that's part of the equation. We're looking for every other variable. What airspeed you at? What angle you at? What flap settings you at? Power settings you at?
Well, at least he's staring me down. He wants the correct answer for these. He's in instructor mode
Where's
right now.
Where's my ruler?
He's in instruction mode right now. It depends on where I'm landing at, but let's say.
Why? Why would that matter?
Runway length.
What?
If I have all kinds of length, I'll keep my airspeed up a little more.
Okay, hold on. Let's go into this. Like, go the differences between short field and long field.
I need a beer for this.
Oh, God.
I'm listening. Go ahead, buddy.
I mean, okay, well, my airspeed is in miles per hour, not knots, but so I'm probably at like 65, 60. I don't know. I don't really know what I'm at. I know what I'm at on final. I don't really pay attention to it that much at 50 foot. Probably I'm more flying on feel at that point.
And I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I don't know what should my airspeed be at 50 foot. It's probably 60. I don't know.
Yeah, somewhere around. But like before you even get into like the actual precision of that, I think it's important. I think it's important that a private pilot or any pilot is at least somewhat aware of where about 50 feet is, like just visually, just looking, just being used to knowing like what the surrounding topography, if you will, like trees, buildings, whatever.
Roughly treetop level.
Roughly treetop level, typically between the lag on the altimeter. Normally when it reads about 100 feet high, that is normally more like 50 feet high.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can like, see, you can watch it.
At that point, I'm not even looking at my altimeter.
And that should be your last time to look, though, yeah. is at about a 50 feet high. Whether you're just eyeballing it visually.
See, I stopped looking at it a long time ago.
Well, no. That's true, but I also people need to know about where it is. So at first, I think they need to be, it's something to be learned and understood, and it would probably help you, and you'd probably disagree with that, but it'd probably help. Is airspeed. That's your last look. 50 feet high, what's my airspeed?
I do that. I'll look at my airspeed. I'll glance at that.
But I don't want to just, see, here's the thing is I want to put something on, like I want to put a little bit more meat on the bone. What is my airspeed at what altitude? And then I just think that's a two-part thing. I guess that's my point.
I guess I couldn't tell you what airspeed I'm at 50 foot, but the whole time on final down to my flare, I do glance down at the airspeed just to make sure I'm not getting too slow before I'm ready to land.
And probably if you're at 50 feet, which you're using, you're probably doing it. Like you're probably very closer to the 50 feet than you may even think you are, but you're close to the 50 feet, check your airspeed. And then after that, you're pretty much outside for the flare. Right.
Yeah.
50 feet is pretty high for the flare.
Yeah. I'm not going to flare at 150 at 50 foot, but
no, but you're managing your energy into the flare. Yeah. If you don't change much at 50 feet and airspeed's good at 50 feet, there's not much. It goes right into feel, like you said, for the most part. There's nothing that airspeed indicator is going to tell you sooner than your body feels right. it. So I think that 50 feet, check your airspeed. Is it high? Is it slow? Is it, you know, right on? Adjust accordingly and pretty much don't really change much. Adjust it with a pitch attitude or a power change. Set it, forget it. Either one of those, depending on what your solution is, what your situation is, and then you're looking at and gaining that depth perception for your round out into your flare. So I would mostly agree with what you said, and I would say try to be your short final. All airplanes have their manufacturer specified short final speed, so whatever it is.
What do you think it is for 150?
I mean, I think 60 is good. 60, 65 is cushion. I mean, like, can I go replicate that? No, but and I don't even we.
I just look on final, I just make sure that I'm like around 65.
Yeah.
And if I'm a little higher than that, if the runway is long enough, I don't get concerned about it.
No, I agree.
If I'm at a short field, I will get a little concerned about it. And I'll
so like, let's say you have a long field and
like, I consider like hind to be long, you know, like I'm not worried about it too much. If I'm coming in, if I'm on final coming into high and it's at 70, if I'm at 75, I'll just throw 40 degrees of flaps in, chop the power all the way, and I'm going to be fine.
Chop and drop, baby.
But what if somebody's already full flaps, idle, and they're fast?
Well, if you're in a 150, you got problems.
Yeah, but not every airplane is a 150.
I know, but that's the only plane that I know how to fly. Yeah. So that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, but I know that you know the answer to my question.
Well,
is
yeah, then you might have to do something.
Like what? We're idle already, configured.
I'm not going to say it.
No, it's not that. It's not that.
What?
Right. He's thinking I'm trying to get him to say go around, and he's never going to admit to that, right?
No, that is what it is. Yeah, I'm not going to admit to it.
You can't go around these days in most situations because of the Trent Palmer situation. He needed to go around. If he didn't go around, if he was stuck that landing, he would have gotten in trouble. See?
I don't know who you're talking about.
That Trent Palmer incident that we talked about on the season finale last year.
I kind of know what you're talking about, but I can't remember the details.
We need to do a full episode on it where apparently. You guys watch all the videos and stuff.
What did he do again?
This is a road tax. He went over.
Oh, he did a low pass.
A low pass to check out this area to land, and somebody reported him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if he would have landed that, it would have been a landing.
Would have been fine. Yeah. Yeah. So no go-arounds anymore.
Yeah.
FAA banned go-arounds. See, I've been right the whole time.
Basically, how I interpreted it was the FAA does not want you doing go-arounds anymore. Yeah. So that no one should ever do a go-around under any circumstances.
If you're too fast.
Just to be safe.
If you're too fast, just to be safe, push that plane right to the ground.
Yep. Just to be
grind it in. Do whatever you got to do to get that on the runway.
Yep. To make sure you don't end up
getting your license suspended to Trent Palmer for doing a go around
with a license suspension.
Yeah.
Never go around. Ever. Yeah. Ever. Ever.
Yeah.
Yep.
Are we like opening ourselves up to some kind of liability?
Probably. Yes. I mean, this is the Farring podcast, and
we don't actually endorse these statements.
So, but I mean, if you look at that, if Trent would have actually landed, it would have been a landing, and then he would have been exempt. But he did a go around for safety issues, and that ended up hosing him in the end.
Whenever there's a fly-in at 88 Delta, there seems to be a lot of people who decide to do a landing. They leave the fly-in, they're going to do a landing, but they're too fast, so they just keep going.
Post-takeoff landing before the fly-in, and then they realize their speed was too high.
Before and after the fly-in, it seems to happen a lot. I think it's just because they're excited about the fly-in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so they don't get their speed right. So
that's why we don't advertise pre-cosh as a fly-in. It's just an aviation event.
Because people might get excited, and then they'll be too hot, and then they'll have to do a go-around, which is illegal now. But
yeah,
Anyways, I wasn't even asking about go around. Okay. So,
back to what you were.
At 50 feet, you see your speed. And let's say you want to be at 60 and you're at 70 or something like definitely fast. Whatever you determine is definitely a little
too fast.
75, let's call it. Okay. Yeah. And it's a reasonable length. It's plenty long. It's 3,000 feet long or so. And we're in a 150, right? So that's twice as what you need. But you're definitely fast, and we want to kind of bring some normalcy to it. So what you want to do is all you're doing at 50 feet, 75 miles an hour, 75 knots, and that's just going to tell you, okay, I need to round out from descent to into my flare a little bit sooner, bleed off some of the speed out of ground effect to make a normal,
Okay. Push it to the ground. Push it right down to the ground, then you can start braking. Use those brakes to stop you.
Okie dokie.
No, I mean, I know you're right, but my instinct is not to do that. I don't like to do that.
So break down, what about that don't you like to do?
I don't like it.
What aspect? What don't you like?
I feel like I need to get lower to the ground if I'm going to land and stop this plane, not pull higher and keep it floating along.
No, you'll end up, if you acknowledge it sooner, your descent gradient actually steepens. The slower you go, your descent gradient steepens. You'll touch down sooner.
So I'll basically just stall it out. Yeah. If I stall this plane, I'm going to touch down sooner.
It's not all or nothing.
It's all or nothing. It's a toggle. Spinning.
It's a toggle switch.
Flying stall.
Yep. Carb heat's on or off. That's it. Everything's toggle switch with him.
No, you're the one with the carb heat. Need a toggle switch on or off.
Okay, sure. I'll give you that. I just don't want partial. I don't want this like sloth slow pull.
Supposed to do that, Lee.
No, you're not.
Yeah, you are.
No, you're not.
Yeah, you are.
Grip it and rip it.
I'm going to ask Don about that.
Ask Don about it. He's not the foremost authority.
Are you still in contact with Don?
I see him sometimes.
We need to get him on the show if you're willing.
Maybe I'll ask Zeus about that.
Okay.
And that would be the final answer.
You have contacts with Zeus?
No, I don't.
Okay,
I'm sure I could look him up.
Jeez,
I know his name.
He's the only one in this room, I believe, that has contact with Zeus.
Let's get the phone book out, right?
The phone book.
Oh, man. White pages.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I think you just change correspondingly. If you're fast, round out a little higher, bleed off some speed out of ground effect. You don't want to take that airspeed into ground effect, and then you'll have pretty much normal landing in the touchdown zone if you were aiming for it already.
Our guest is here.
Oh, man, our guest Brian Ocko.
Guest host is here.
Get prepared, too.
Yeah.
Not as prepared as you guys.
Oh, man.
Fridge is there if you want.
Okay, we'll let you get settled in there.
Yeah.
We're talking landings.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So you got to put your
50-foot
earbuds on.
50-foot obstacle. No, that's what we're gonna do. Look, we changed it.
There's not good.
50.
Oh, is that a ghost?
Yeah.
So we're at 50 feet. Lee's saying what?
Check your airspeed. If you're high, start rounding out accordingly. Don't wait till your normal flare height. You want to start a little bit earlier to bleed off some of that excess energy out of ground effect. So you touch down normally.
And Scott, you're saying do not do that.
No, push the plane right to the ground. Get on the brakes. Even if push the plane to the ground. If it still wants to fly, put the flaps back up, lock up those brakes, slide that thing in.
Is this really what you do versus what Lee's talking about, or are you just trying to instigate? I'm just curious. This could be something you actually do. I can't tell in this situation.
I think it's a somewhat of a decent alternative to what Lee is saying. I mean, he's technically right, but I feel like I could do it.
Yeah, except you risk if you drive it down.
What about dropping it down? How do you feel about when you're in ground effect, dropping those flaps down so you can get on the brakes?
No, I think that's fine.
Okay,
I think that's fine, you know, just bit to let it settle in. So basically you're raising your stall speed, yeah, so it's going right, to settle.
Yeah.
And then it kind of transfers the weight of from the wing to the wheels, yeah, if you're already on the ground. I endorse all those moves,
okay,
for the most part. Yeah.
Or okay, just if you're in a 150, you got that 40 degrees of flaps, you tap the power, you don't need to worry about any of that because it's gonna sink.
We try to be for a broader audience than 150 pilots.
Yeah, well, that's what I fly. So
all right, Anko, first time on the show here.
Yeah,
not yet a pilot. That's what we like to call it.
I mean, I've played Grand Theft Auto and I've flown a lot of planes on that.
Oh well, so you are a pilot then.
Yeah,
okay. Nobody else needs to be here.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah,
you've driven tanks too, probably. I'm sure.
Yeah, shot cops.
Yeah. Yeah.
People,
well, who hasn't done that?
Yeah. Beat up hookers. All sorts of things. That's it. Really great simulator.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so this is a finite, but we're trying to bring, because we have a lot of audience who has not yet started flight lessons. So I thought would be good with you is to ask questions from like that perspective that just haven't started the official lessons yet, you know?
I could play that.
Yeah, you could play that role as our aviation expert here. The 50 feet about to land, would that even have crossed your mind as something that's pilots focus and debate about? As far as like what's going on 50 feet above the ground as you're coming in for a landing at that point in time.
I feel like if I was a pilot, anytime I would be 50 feet above the ground, would be like full throttle to do a flyby.
Right. We just went over that. Yeah. The FAA banned go arounds. So you have to land it basically.
They did not ban.
Wait, I thought that you used to be able to claim you were doing a go around when you were actually buzzing people.
Right, but they suspended some guy's license for doing that.
They saw right through that.
Yeah. So now they're putting everybody's safety at risk.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah. Because everybody's gonna force their plane right to the ground because they don't want to get their license suspended. So it's like, well, might as well bury this thing into the ground.
Right. I'll slam that thing in there.
Oh crap, I'm 200 knots. What am I gonna do? Well, I don't want to lose my license.
Might
as well ball this thing up on the ground.
Yeah.
Right?
Balling it up in the ground.
Yeah.
Better chances keeping your license than doing a go around these days.
Might not keep your life, but you got your license.
Yeah. At least you will die with your license. Yeah.
That's true.
Hand it onto your chest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Melted right in.
Yep.
So one thing I would just be, can you get it down and kind of technique wise touch down and get it all on the ground safely, securely, whatever, under control, well above stall speed? 100%. Every jet in the world lands above stall speed. It's more about technique that equates to landing distance required. But what you risk with that technique in a GA airplane, where you tend to have a pitch down, you know, we land very flat to begin with. To stay on a 3-degree descent glide path, we're 1 degree nose up. To stay on a 3-degree descent.
Yeah, that's so weird. I hate watching bigger planes land because it just freaks me out.
Yeah, because you're equating that to like, they need power. That's, they're going to stall.
They're stalling. Like, they look like they're stalling the whole way down. Like, I wouldn't fly like that.
Well, it doesn't feel like that way when you're doing it. It doesn't feel that way when you're doing it. It feels like you're descending.
Let's say I'm flying to Florida in a 737. Let's say use the foreign model. I don't know what the conversion is, but A something. But
fly a Spirit, become a Spirit.
Whatever the A model is, the foreign one, you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Right. So let's say the pilots die.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm coming in, no other pilots on the plane. I'm like, well, I'm a pilot, you know. So I get up there and I demand that they give me free flights for life in order to land this thing. And once we work out the details, then I'm coming in on final.
Free flights for life on Delta.
Yeah,
not on your
Delta.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
I made
a better record this last few weeks than Spirit.
Well, yeah, that's
making
true.
Flights move on time.
Southwest.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So after the pilots die from whatever cause, maybe
they become incapacitated.
Yeah. So hijackers hijack the plane,
and you subdue them by yourself.
And then they kill the pilots, but I kill the hijackers.
Scott.
Then I take over the role of the hijackers and demand the money. And once they give in to my demands, I'm going to land this plane.
Which we've talked about this before, Anko.
That's probably legal.
Because
he didn't hijack the plane. Right.
We're just in negotiations now. This is just totally legal.
There's
negotiation.
There's no legal requirement that you need to go and land that plane.
I'm not demanding anything from them other than...
But if they were to pay you...
How much do you want to pay me to land this plane?
Yeah, you're just the contractor.
This is a business transaction at this point. You're the cleanup guy.
I could land this plane or I could not. How much are you going to pay me to land it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're just
and then we'll go from there. And if they won't agree to my demands, I just go back and sit in the cabin.
Yeah.
Let things happen. It's not my problem.
Maybe. Where's the auto land button on
on this thing.
Yeah. Could potentially be your problem.
Yeah, quickly. Wow. Okay. When it's really low, just pop the door open, jump out, and tuck and roll.
Yeah, yeah. It's not my problem. Go fly over some water or something. Yeah, pool. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, once they agree to my demands, then I'm okay. So I'm flying
your
this
request.
Thing. My request. Yeah.
Wording here is very sensitive. Very, very situation.
Once they agree to my request, then I'm on final. This doesn't look right to me.
It's not
I'm
that
pushing
though.
My nose. I'm doing this, but then the I'm gonna be too
down.
Fast.
It's an audio show.
Yeah,
and you're the minor's blocking from the camera.
Okay,
anyway,
okay. nose up. I'm not doing nose up. I'm doing nose down because that's what I do every day when I don't fly. Every day. I mean, that's
like
what
that.
I do
would
twice
Scott,
a year when I
would
fly.
Scott know he's nose up though once if he gets in that attitude on a bigger plane. Scott and I've never been in a bigger plane.
If you look out that window, you'll think you're doing this. I promise you.
Really?
Yep. It's I mean, it's all just built into the thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
just the way it functions. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's odd, or that I've gotten used to and didn't really realize it.
Well,
I mean think
even
I've
as a passenger in the back, you don't feel like you're doing this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and same up front.
Yeah. But if you're watching them land, it looks like they're doing their nose up.
Yeah. I know that's what we're doing, but it doesn't feel like that at all.
Is the Learjet like that?
We're 1 degree nose up for a 3 degree glide path
for the approach.
Yeah, so I mean,
so
it's
you're
not
basically
this.
You're basically stalled the whole time.
No.
What is it in Grand Theft Auto? I forget. It's been so long.
It's actually like Scott. You are nose.
Your
down.
Nose down.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. That's my assumption. I wanted to make sure.
Every plane.
Maybe
should
I'm doing it wrong.
Every plane.
GTI. I mean, how much can we learn from?
Every plane should handle like the 150.
Yeah, well, my hip.
yeah, I would be like Wilson, James Wilson. I would be like, where's the 40 degrees of flaps?
We have 40 degrees.
Do you?
Yeah.
So you can stop that thing in a dime then.
No.
Well, then your flaps aren't big enough.
The flap square. We got plenty of flap.
No, you don't.
Yeah, we do.
Can you land at hind?
I don't think that's a flap.
It's more about
issue.
Energy. It's the 21,000 pounds you got to stop is the difference.
Would you be able to put like mudders on it so you could land at hind?
This thing, it's got double wheels on the mains, and they're pretty beefy. I think, you know,
if you had to land there, let's say it's July, so you're not going to sink in, ground's hard, what would happen?
Man, I don't know. Just with the...
If you landed, best case scenario...
So we're talking a Lear 40 at a 2,500-foot
grass
strip. To give
if you landed
with
the brakes
with
on, put full flaps, full reversed, as soon as you touch down, would you get it stopped?
Probably.
Well, you should stop in sometime.
It's definitely not getting out.
21,000 pounds is a lot.
19.2 is the max landing weight, okay. But you know what I'm saying. Yeah. Max takeoff is 21. But
UPS will get it out box by box after
Scott
got his hands on
it.
Come back the next day. And
it's gone.
It's like the Lord of War scene where they come back the next day after they've been in Africa.
Plane's gone.
Just a shell.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, none of that. Oh, yeah. So it doesn't feel like you're 1 degree up, even though you are. And like the CRJ 200, that's 2.5 degrees pitch down, just like your 150.
Well, then that's what I should be flying then.
It feels very natural.
If I ever charter a jet, I'm chartering a CRJ 200. Yeah.
So we went, I'm trying Challenger 300. That thing's amazing.
It's not a Gulfstream, though.
That is true. I have never been on a Gulfstream. I don't know.
I usually fly the 700 when I go places.
Yeah, the ER, or you don't go that far?
Yeah, well, it depends. If I'm going really far, I'd need the Global.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's got a little bit better range.
Yeah. All right. So back to you kicked off this episode.
Lee just checked out.
It's okay. Scott, you said there'd be a big difference at the 50-foot off the ground on your approach point that we've been referencing. Depending on the length of the airstrip. I want you to go into that.
Well,
and I'm sure that'll bring
not,
Lee back it, in out of frustration.
My concern of my airspeed would change depending on the length of the runway. So if I'm fast on a long runway, I really don't care. But if I'm fast on a short runway, then I would do something.
What would you do?
Okay, hold on real quick though. What if you're landing, what if where you're trying to go is at almost close to the beginning of the runway? And the longer you have to go float down that runway is the longer the taxi back. What if it cost you money?
Well, I'd put full flaps in and I'd slow it up, pull back a little bit.
So you do the right thing. Okay, good. Noted.
No, I wouldn't.
I'd float
1,000 feet.
All right.
If the runway is 5,000 foot long, what do I care?
That's all that
I'll fly it back to the taxiway. I'll just get a little...
Whatever.
Okay, so the speed was the only difference at the 50-foot threshold.
What do you mean?
As far as my...
Well, your altitude's 50 foot, so, I mean...
Obviously.
Yeah, obviously. But it does depend on, are you at 50 foot right over the very end of the runway, or are you at 50 foot, 500 foot down the runway? Because that makes a difference.
If you don't have the length to pull it off.
Yeah.
So walk us through, what do you do if you're at 500 feet and you're already 50 feet, sorry. You're already over the runway and your speed's a little high, but you've got plenty of runway left to go.
Oh, I just keep doing what I'm doing.
Okay.
I'll let the speed go away on its own. 40 degrees of flaps. Keep my same descent down flare. If I'm fast, I'll just float above the ground until it slows down, land.
What if you don't have a ton of runway left to fix it and you're 50 feet over the runway already? And your speed's a little high.
I don't know, because I have a 150, so I would just put 40 degrees of flaps in and then I would stop.
You already have 40 degrees of flaps in.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't. I wouldn't be in that. If you fly a 150, you understand. Those things drop and stop on a dime. So yeah. I haven't had that problem.
Okay.
I don't remember what I used to do when I'd fly.
I saw him do this once coming into Hind, and he popped both of the doors open.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can do that. You push doors open. Yeah.
I heard him scream, "Air brakes, bitches."
Popped
them both open.
Pop the doors open. That is a way to stop. I've steered the 150 with the doors before just to see if I could do it, because I was wondering, like, what if I lost my rudders and ailerons? Could I steer this thing? So I hands off the yoke and I steered the plane around with the doors.
I've done that.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Yeah, it works.
How would you feel if you were in a plane and Scott and I were just playing around with that kind of stuff?
That I wouldn't mind.
Being in the plane to begin with.
Or like intentionally like stalled it, I would like probably cry and jump out.
Okay.
Yeah. Get it over. Just quick.
But do you have a fire extinguisher on your ankle?
I don't know if Anka's familiar with the Trevor Jacobs.
But is that what you would
video?
Do?
I would just jump out. Get it done with.
Okay. All right.
Just jump.
This guy was flying his buddy's ashes. Right? Is that somewhere up in the mountains somewhere?
Yeah, this the video where the dude intentionally crashed in the mountains.
Yeah, he just happens to be in the cheapest plane that you can buy, and it's loaded with cameras. He has a fire extinguisher strapped to his ankle and a parachute when the plane quits. But he, you know.
I think I posted this on your guys' Facebook, whatever it is.
Pilotgram.com.
Your rip off of Facebook.
Yeah. Well.
Okay. I think we beat the 50-footer to death. I don't think you can do the 50-footer with stabilized approach. Can you?
What do you mean in terms? Theoretically, if you're on a stabilized approach, 50 feet over the threshold will have you land 1,000 feet down the runway, which is a perfect 3-degree angle.
At the 1,000 footers.
That's why 50 feet is the 50 feet marker.
Okay.
The threshold crossing height is about 50 feet AGL above ground level, and that will have you touch down on the 1,000 footers.
So in the Lear, you're at what speed at the 50-foot mark?
About 120, let's say.
Okay. And that's going to plop you down right at the 1,000 footers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You always land on the 1,000 footers.
You try to.
Okay.
What if you're landing at a short runway?
That's all factored in. Shorter to us is 5,000 feet.
Yeah, but you said you landed at 4,000 foot, right?
Yeah, the shortest I've ever landed is 4,200.
You didn't touch down at the 1,000 footer on that one, did you?
Yeah, we did.
Wow. I would have touched down right away.
No.
So Scott's runway, I'm just curious before we move on to the next topic you got there. Mathers, 4,000 foot grass strip, beautifully smooth, everything. Could you land, take off out of like Mathers in a Lear 40?
So it's not legal to take that airplane off of unimproved strips.
Okay.
So that's like number one. But if like somehow I could take our performance data and like, okay, it's dry grass, that would equate to a wet runway or something like that.
Yeah.
I could factor that in. Because remember, with us, it's not so much about can we take off. It's all about if can we accelerate to our decision speed of V1, which let's say is about 105, 112, okay, depending on weight. Can I accelerate to that speed, have an engine fail if it's at one, if let's say V1 is 105, the engine fails at 104, which means I reject the takeoff. I need to be able to stop on what's remaining.
Yeah, you're not going to stop.
Probably not.
No. Okay.
So it's not so much about all engines.
Not at that weight on that speed with grass. You're just going
to
slide.
Well, you can keep backing off the weight until you come to a weight that allows you to do it.
Well,
which is what we have to do. We have to leave fuel behind or whatever behind.
But even if you're near empty, that thing still weighs what?
Well, our zero maximum zero fuel weight will have zero fuel. So our minimum flight operating weight is 14,000 pounds, but they weigh like 13,000 something empty. So
50 years ago, before all these dumb rules, you could take off like no problem from that. It would just be the problem of if you had an engine fail, you would wreck.
Yeah, you'd go off the end. Yeah. I mean, and they had a lot of these same rules.
But no one cared, right?
What did the cocaine cowboys do? They use Learjets once in a while, right? They didn't. I mean, they got $1 million worth of coke in their back. I don't think they're worried about some regs at that point.
Buy yourself a PC-24, right? And then you don't need to worry about it.
Those are approved for unimproved
strips. Is that the only jet?
As far as I know, that's the only jet that's approved.
I've watched videos of them landing on grass and dirt.
PC-24? What's that?
It's the Plattest jet.
Oh.
It's not the... It's like a, I don't know, what does it compare to? Like a Lear?
It looks like a Lear 40, Embraer, a Phenom 300. It's all in there. Pretty good looking, very proportional.
I've watched some videos of them landing on grass strips. It's pretty.
That does look weird.
Why does it look weird?
Yeah,
does that look on a grass strip?
Right. It just doesn't look right.
So what's different about this?
It looks
plane?
Photoshopped, but it's probably not.
They tested it to do that. That's the biggest thing. It's got probably
heavier gear.
They test it. It might be a little bit more robust, but
other people just don't care about grass strips, so they're like,
why would we even
bother?
Why would we bang up a
product? There is a market for that though, like
in Mexico.
In Mexico and South and Central America.
Is it making you pay to chat? That might be why the chat's low right now.
I mean, there's 21 watching, but
shouldn't make you pay. Unless that's our setting. Are they paying us to chat?
You guys are streaming this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. On Rumble.
I don't know what that is.
It's like, you have to pay to chat.
It's like a YouTube,
which shouldn't be like
sensors.
That is that could be why our chat's lower than normal.
We got viewers, we just don't have chatters.
I don't know that I don't know how much they cost new, but I don't know that I would really buy into how much I care about the off airport chops an airplane needs to have a jet.
Well, personally. No, but I mean, if that's what you want to operate off of, then you're kind of stuck buying the Plattest.
Yeah. They know that.
Right. So they probably have made...
You could buy a King Air,
I bet
though.
They've made a decent amount of sales just for having that ability.
I've seen on the road, which obviously there's plenty out there. I've seen two.
12s?
Yeah. Two PC-24s.
Yeah. 24s. Yeah.
Okay. They're saying it's free. It's not working for me, but they can figure it out. But I wonder if anybody else has run into those issues. I was trying to post the link of this goofy jet taking off a grass strip.
Okay.
Just take a picture of it, then hold the phone to the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Landing. This is different when you haven't gone through flight training. You're on a plane. Pilot dies.
Yeah.
What if you...
How confident are you can bring it down without the training?
We need the full scenario.
Grand Theft Auto. We need to walk through this.
No, like...
You finally decide
to fly with me. No, we're going to start with a small plane.
Well,
you finally decide to fly with me, and I die from one of these coincidences that is going around lately. Yeah,
just go right into the mic.
Do you have the boosters?
No. But let's say that I did, and I died from a coincidence. A medical coincidence.
I see you running past my house every Sunday morning, and you're going pretty slow, so I think it probably wouldn't be a coincidence.
Slow. That's my 10th mile, by the way.
I could drive 10 miles in like 2 minutes.
So that is true.
I don't want to hear that. If Scott died and I was in the 150, two things immediately pop in my head. Call Bob and try to land it or get it to go really slow in like 5 feet of water and jump out.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll push Scott out too.
That's probably just
out and not dead.
I never even thought about that. That might not be
a bad idea. Just
if you get
fly over the water.
Lakefront
if you get that thing trimmed good. At like
and just
right
hold
above
it off.
Lake Erie,
just hold off as long
at
as
like
you can.
60 knots. You're not going to stall it.
No,
you can fly that.
Just let it settle. Just keep pulling back until it.
Yeah, chop the power. Like and keep pulling back until it like is doing stuff you don't want it to do, and then jump.
I wouldn't jump. I would stay in it.
I've hit the water.
I'm big. I would smack my head against everything and drown.
I wouldn't jump.
I would not jump.
No. I've hit the water. Like
by the time you get out of the plane, you're probably gonna get hit by something. Like
Yeah.
I mean, I've hit water at 70 mile an hour before, and it hurts, but even tubing, it's survivable. You know,
find like a giant field. Don't use don't use corn, obviously. But
why not use
corn? Corn would slow you down.
I want
corn. Actually, yeah, you're right. Don't use a chisel plowed field.
Why not?
Oh, you would flip.
You'd flip.
Unless you're right in line with the grooves.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll be all right.
You ever drive through a chisel plowed field? It's not smooth. Akko, have you ever driven through a chisel plowed field?
You know, one time I did. I was in your brother's truck. We were all in it. It was late.
Were you there? I was probably in it.
I had just hit a building with a plow. And
I was there.
I was really tired. Yeah. We decided to go fielding, and I pulled into the wrong field at 60.
Yeah, it was fine.
Everything worked out.
We didn't flip.
No, everything was fine.
Well, the people in the truck bed were not fine. There was people in the truck bed.
They didn't like it.
They did not enjoy that at all.
I'm not sure if they knew it was going to happen.
No, I don't think any, if I recall, I don't think anybody knew it was going to happen.
I don't know if I did.
Okay.
So how deep are the furrows on a chisel plowed field?
Oh, it can be pretty deep.
How deep is
like a
deep?
Foot?
Like a foot, yeah.
At least.
Yeah. Like a 150. If that nose wheel hits
the nose wheel shouldn't hit. Even that's if the, why you can't drive
the main. If the main hit, what's that do?
It's
going
right
to the ground.
Right forward.
That's fine.
As soon as it catches the backs, you're going to smack the front in, and then it's going
to flip.
You're
rolling immediately.
Because I don't want him to bust up my plane, because if they fix the medical coincidence, I'd rather just have my plane back.
Well, ideally, you land with the furrows, right? I mean, that's like...
Yeah, you don't want to land against them.
How that would work. It might be actually fine. You might get in a groove.
But anyway, we're getting it off topic here. Like, why don't we just find a field that's not plowed? Okay, because he could do that. He's flying around.
If it's winter, though?
He's GTA.
It's winter.
Yeah, I can
approve. So you can fly around, fly a little south of the turnpike. There's giant fields down there.
I don't go south of the turnpike.
Not even for life saving.
I wouldn't want to crash down there because you don't know what's going to happen. But find a big ass field, just
smoothly
hold
down.
On. What if the wind? So I'm playing the wind. It's like 50 knots out of the north.
Yeah, he's not gonna. He's not gonna know the wind though. He's just gonna find a field.
Okay.
Do you think you'd be able to in that? You're obviously not thinking straight at this point. Your pilot just died, and you may be next. Like
he suffered a medical coincidence.
Yeah. He suffered a medical
the
coincidence.
The odds of us both suffering medical coincidences in the same flight. You know, we're pretty good.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, but yeah, you're going. You got to get this thing on the ground. You only got so much fuel. You could probably fly it for a little bit, no problem, up in the air. But
fly
it's
around
the,
Cedar Point.
It's the landing thing.
We'll probably have fun for a while.
What about the end?
Push Scott out at Cedar Point.
Well, there's a decent.
This will be hilarious when a dead body lands there.
There's a decent chance I may die, so I'm going to try to have an hour of fun here with the fuel.
If the engine fails, or like that, you're out of like
you have 10 minutes of fuel left.
Yeah,
five minutes.
You got to go.
But why would I be flying around with 5 minutes of fuel left? And
because
he wouldn't know
you.
How much fuel is left.
Yeah, but you would be flying around with 5 minutes of fuel left.
No,
yeah, you're right. I wouldn't.
I'm kind of paranoid in my old age. Like I do things. I'm
a little different.
By the book.
I wouldn't say by the book, but I'm a little bit cautious.
Yeah,
I'm very cautious. Actually,
the book calls Scott a pussy now.
Yeah, like my
it's like you're allowed to do way more than that.
My 10 year ago self calls me a pussy.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He probably beats me up sometimes.
I think all of ours do.
All of our 10 year old self.
Yeah.
I think of that anytime I go out drinking. I'm like, I don't really want to.
I know. That's
anymore.
All I am. It's like. I don't really want to drink.
So you guys have messaged me. I'm like, I'd rather just hang out at home by myself.
I guess I'll come here.
Yeah. It's a mile down the road. It's
okay. So yeah, that's a decent. I didn't even think of that. The lake, but
yeah, I would go for the lake first. Second,
what if it's winter time? No lake option, because then you're dead.
Talking about if it's frozen.
Oh, if it's frozen.
Even if it's cold, right now when it's not frozen, you're not going
to
do good.
I grew up in Huron, so I'm used to the cold lake. I go swimming in it every winter.
When
I was 10, I did it once. No, you're right. I wouldn't want to get cold. I would rather, to avoid getting that cold, I would probably crash it into something else.
Yeah. Like a billboard.
Like a field.
After thinking about this for 5 minutes.
I wouldn't go for a billboard. It's like a really big...
for a building?
I would probably go try to crash it next to a hospital.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Well,
like, next level.
First thought, it wasn't what I thought. But now, after thinking about it 5 minutes, I'm like, what's around Firelands? Maybe south of the Turnpike.
250?
What's that? Norwalk. Yeah, what's the one down there? There's probably a field.
There's
got to
be fields there. Yeah. Philly's probably there. He's really
Philly
great
would save
doctor.
You. Give you mouth to mouth.
Yeah. Even if I was dead.
If I passed out in the plane, would you try to resuscitate me?
I probably. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Very loud.
Yeah. Okay, just so, beat my head against the window.
Yeah, I would try to wake you up, but I don't think I could try to do CPR while flying a plane that I've never done before.
Yeah.
If you had to try to bring in a runway, what would be your inclination? Like, say you're having to land it at a runway for some reason.
Like, what would be?
No, you're going for 250. Let's say the traffic's not that bad, so you'd pick 250 by Firelands Hospital.
Okay.
Terrible idea, but anyway.
Yeah, those stoplights and cords and shit.
Okay.
I thought you were a pilot.
Route 2.
Route 2 is not a bad idea.
We're going into Route 2.
Yeah.
That would be, I feel like, my
You can go for Route 2. Route 2 right by Route 4. That way they could get you right to the
hospital. Straight to the hospital. Straight to the hospital. Perfect.
Yeah. And then try to come right over that bridge that you got a long time until you hit another bridge. Yeah.
I'll pull up the exit ramp with that thing.
Okay. Just drive it to the hospital if you don't crash it.
Yeah, good.
Because then they could treat you for your PTSD.
Treatment for that?
I'm trying to walk this. Like, if you chop the power and you're just coming in and you get low to the ground with some speed, if you have a long, long route two before you hit a bridge or like something, if you just try to hold that off right off the ground, for like.
Which is difficult.
I guess it's difficult if you're not a pilot, but I'm like.
Yeah, but he's kind of
just hold it right off. And then eventually the airspeed will bleed off since you have no power in. It'll eventually settle.
Well, first of all, if I pass out. The autopilot is the big red knob. Just pull that back.
It does not have autopilot, does it?
All this time, you didn't know.
I just said that then. Yeah, we're solid.
That's the Garmin Autoland feature. Yeah. The red knob.
The big red knob. It'll force you to land it.
So
it's the mixture.
if you're too afraid to land it, just pull the autopilot and it'll land it for you. It's the big red knob.
If this were to actually happen, I probably know more than the regular person about planes, but I also don't know shit. So I would try to figure out what the flaps were. I'd try to figure out the throttle and the brakes and try to work those low to the ground.
Get your phone out and Google like how to land a 150.
You probably could YouTube it.
If we were making a Far Aim podcast YouTube channel, like, which we're starting this year, how would we even walk someone through how to land a 150?
Well, you go up, you kill Scott, and then you pilot it down.
Yeah,
demonstrate.
We should try this in real life.
So instead of having Bob pilot it down because he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I'll pass out. Yeah, but I won't really be passed out, and I'll just wait till like the last second, and I'll be like, "Oh shit!"
We might need a CFI to actually be there who knows how to recover from crazy student stuff at the last second. Lee might have to do this.
Where is Ryan Eccle, by the way?
He's gone.
Be here any minute.
Yeah.
To even get me up there, you'd have to get me like blacked out.
Yeah, and that'll help.
Then you'd land like, fine. Oh, yeah, like
that's
I'd
right.
Be coming in, trying to do crazy stuff.
Yeah, do some go arounds. But then you might get suspended from flying again.
Yeah. He doesn't have a license, doesn't matter.
Well, they might not let him get one though. Or they'll be like, "Well, we can't take your pilot's license, so we'll just take your driver's license."
Would anyone ever stop me if I just flew out of Hind over to like? Kelly's put in bay in Port Clinton.
No.
So I could just like get in a plane and
maybe Port Clinton, but probably not.
Other than crashing it.
Port Clinton's gotten a lot of jets lately.
Yeah.
What's up with that? More rich people or?
Yeah, it's just the only airport that's big enough to handle them in this area. I mean,
they extended the runway.
If you don't want to drive from like Toledo,
Columbus,
or
Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cleveland.
Yeah.
We ran up from Florida and that was the only airport that made any sense at all.
Yeah.
It was PCW. All right. Let's knock out this Tursa then.
Okay.
This is AIM 3-5-6, which even though we're the Far Aim podcast, we hardly ever cover anything out of the Far Aim. Background. I wish Scott was here for this. TERSAs were originally established as part of the terminal radar program at selected airports. TERSAs were never controlled airspace from a regulatory standpoint because the establishment of TERSAs was never subject to the rulemaking process. Consequently, TERSAs are not contained in CFR Part 71. Nor are there any TERSA operating rules in Part 91. Part of the Airport Radar Service Area, ARSA, program was to eventually replace all Tursas. However, the ARSA requirements became relatively stringent, and it was subsequently decided that Tursas would have to meet ARSA criteria before they could be converted to Tursas, or before they could be converted. Tursas do not fit into any of the U.S. airspace classes. Therefore, they will continue to be non-Part 71 airspace areas where participating pilots can receive additional radar services, which have been redefined as TRSA services. The primary airports within the TRSA becomes Class D airspace. The remaining portion of the TRSA overlies other controlled airspace, which is normally Class E airspace, beginning at 700 or 1,200 feet, and established to transition to from an en route to terminal environment. This is Scott's favorite part, participation. Pilots operating under VFR are encouraged to contact radar approach control and avail themselves of TRSA services. However, participation is voluntary and on the part of the pilot. TRSAs are depicted on VFR sectional chart, terminal area charts with a solid black line. Altitudes for each segment. Did you even know what a TRSA was?
I just sat back down. So what is it? Terminal radar service area?
Oh, man. You are good.
I do know what it is. I know what the acronym stands for, but I don't know beyond that.
Have you ever been in a TRSA?
I'm sure I've been inside of a TRSA.
Was it on accident?
What is a TRSA? I don't even know.
The Terminal Radar Service Area.
I know what the acronym stands for. I remember learning about it, Terminal Radar Service Area, but I don't remember what you do inside of it.
I'll be honest. I have no idea what a TRSA is. That's why I thought it'd be an interesting little segment. Because if I don't know, people would maybe are out there that have pilot's license that have forgotten
what it means. Let's ask Anko. What's a TRSA?
It means you're in the radar service area of a terminal and you should have checked in.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's actually, I think, based off what I just read.
That's probably
not a terrible summary.
Probably true.
Lee's shaking his head, yes.
It's voluntary, though. That's the only thing. So,
I've probably been in a TRSA before.
Mansfield
is a TRSA.
Is not a TRSA.
Oh, that's the only thing I would have thought of for him.
It functions like a TRSA. The radar service area is not noted. It's one of like three. Well, not anymore.
Yeah, because whenever I'd go in there, I'd call them like 20 miles out.
Yeah, on approach.
Yeah.
Mansfield approach.
But you don't have to do that if you don't want to.
You don't have to do that if you don't want to.
That's courteous.
But it kind of relieves you of some responsibility as far as where you are exactly in terms of busting airspace. You're in their radar coverage area, which is not their airspace necessarily. So you can get a hold of them. Get admitted into the, you know, open the dialogue with the class Delta, the tower, and they'll hand you off, and you're not going to bust airspace is the bottom line. If it's just a normal class Delta, you need to be sure of where you are in relationship to the confines of the class Delta airspace, because if you're like coming up on it and you, for some reason, can't get a word in edgewise, you can potentially bust airspace and go into the
class. Yeah, I'd just turn around. I'd turn around.
If you knew where the border was, yeah.
If I thought I was anywhere near it, I'd turn around.
Well, right. You wouldn't have even flown there to begin with.
No.
But yeah.
I used to. I used to fly to Mansfield all the time.
Yeah, but.
What were you doing down there?
What
was his name?
I don't know. I'd just go down there because it was controlled field.
You felt like they a big pilot because they have C-130s.
They did have a restaurant with a full bar there, though.
They still have that?
The Flying Turtle.
It's not there anymore, I don't think.
No?
That's sad. I'm pretty sure not, though.
Who would have ever thought a bar at a runway that people fly into as pilots with a liquor license?
I think it was like connected to like the waiting area. So if you're the passenger, like...
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, that's a brilliant idea. Why don't more people do that? I'm like, wait a second. It's pilots. Unless you're spending the night. Yeah. You're not going bar hopping like a boater on Lake Erie.
No, but your passenger can drink.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's true. Who wants to be the DD, though? Especially with you and I.
The DP.
DP.
Designated pilot.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, I feel like that stands for something else, but I can't
remember.
Let's not
get into that.
Departure procedure.
That's right.
Okay. All right.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. That's what I've heard it.
Yeah. So what is this completely irrelevant, the TRSA thing? Because I feel like people bring this up sometimes.
Erie, Youngstown, and those are just like right here, right by us. So, I mean, they're all over. There's one down in West Virginia too, right south of us, Huntsville.
So why don't they just make it a class, Charlie, then?
I think it's just classifications of how busy the airspace is.
Yeah.
I think is all.
Why don't they mark Mansfield's?
there's not many like Mansfield, and I don't even know if it still holds the same thing because now Cleveland Approach handles Mansfield.
Really?
It's not Mansfield Approach anymore.
So if I go to Mansfield, I call Cleveland Approach?
Or you call nobody and just go to the Mansfield Tower.
Things have changed.
Have people, if you called Mansfield Approach, would you get anybody now?
Cleveland.
Yeah, you get Cleveland? Well, will they answer you and like
on the charts, it's going to give you the frequency for Cleveland for Approach.
Oh, okay.
So you can call them the wrong thing. And if you're cold calling,
call them the wrong thing just out of principle because I'm not flying to Cleveland. I'm flying to Mansfield.
Once we get your plane rigged up with the recording stuff, I'd be honestly curious to do this and see what they respond with.
Yeah. I'm going to refuse to address them as Cleveland Approach.
Then I can have the clips in our little button system here.
That'd be perfect.
The whole time I'm going to call them Mansfield Approach. I'm going to make extra calls to them, like asking them stuff so I can just say Mansfield Approach over and over again.
Could you just get a radio and like hang out down there?
Drive down your ranger.
Just get a handheld and drive around.
Mansfield Do they have got Approach? Towers around Mansfield? They're running it back to them?
Yeah. Okay. They're typically like a remote communication outlet.
Probably
a
delay on that. Yeah. No. That's not safe.
No. Yeah, speed of sound, right? I mean, it's just depth sounder, speed of sound. It's not accurate at all.
No, radio frequency.
Speed of sound is kind of slow for Mansfield to Cleveland.
Yeah.
I was being facetious.
It's speed of light, but that's still slow.
Compared to what? The Millennium Falcon.
Hyperspeed. Yeah.
Warp 9.
Warp 9. FTL something. I don't know.
Ludicrous speed.
Yeah. Yep.
Got the plaid out.
Race mode.
Yeah, race mode, type R, yeah.
It's all
remote relay back to Cleveland.
Yeah, so the speed of light, but delay is not safe.
Is it going to cut?
It literally takes 8 minutes for the sunlight to even get here.
I know.
280,000 miles a second, not fast enough.
Yeah, it's safe. Is that what it is?
186,000.
Yeah, I was saying, I don't think so, but it's close.
186,000 miles a second.
Yep.
That's slow.
And the sun's 93 million miles away. Let's do the math.
Okay.
Get out your calculator.
8 minutes.
Whoa! Savant over here.
Yeah.
Is this something that would come up on a check ride? I just feel like this is not a pain point area where a DE is going to be harping on it.
Is like, I guess, be specific in your question. What aspect of what we've talked about?
The TIRSAs.
If get out your sectional. You should have one for your area. And with four flight now, with no real boundaries, I don't know if they've got their little stylus out and are pointing to shit. I don't know. But there's a lot of them around the country. I would say definitely commit it to memory. It's not that big of a deal. It looks like a Class C only black. And
I'd stay out of it. Too. I don't like them.
Well, you can. It's voluntary, though.
Yeah, even though it's voluntary?
And that is something I think about every time you say about like dodge the circles.
Stay out of
Here's
circles.
Here's the thing, though. It's completely voluntary. It looks like
It's not as bad as the hard circles, then.
But you don't know that. If you don't know the rules, it looks just as bad as the class chart. Like, oh,
I know I don't have to call anybody. I remembered seeing the black circles. I know you don't have to call anybody on it. So they weren't as scary.
There you go.
Okay. Next week, I'm pitching, not next week. This is 2 weeks from the release of the show that'll start in 5 minutes here.
We didn't start yet?
We'll start in 10 minutes.
We got episode one done out of this PM stream.
All right. We better get going on episode two.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm trying to get going. Dinner's going to be ready soon. I was going to say, we're doing this weird thing, personal minimums versus company minimums.
Yes.
And you were going to combine that with something else.
Unfamiliar airports and the 50-foot barrier speed, which we kind of already talked about.
Okay.
So, personal minimums.
Personal minimums. Coming up, episode 130, it should be. It'll come out 2 weeks after this one's released. If you're in the live stream right now, it'll come out 5 minutes from now, or shorter, probably. We're wrapping this thing up now for lack of conversation. Points, I'm sick of TIRSAs. I'm sick of the 50-foot obstacle. We usually do an hour, but we're just doing like 45 minutes.
We're just sick of everything.
55 minutes on this one.
Sick of life.
God, airplanes suck.
God, I hate airplanes.
Hey, so, can your afford Wi-Fi?
No. I got a...
give me the password when this is done.
Live. Give it live. You're scared.
Lee's got the hookup on his iPad.
What do you want me to do?
Yeah, it was Lee's.
How about we just not talk about that?
Sorry, Lee.
It's all right.
It's Lee's not hotspot with whatever that team was the password. I
some kind of team
spun up for him.
I guess it doesn't matter.
Red Devils or something. I don't know.
I think it was.
Thank you, ground crew, for tuning in. We appreciate it. This is in person. We thought it'd be better, but I mean,
it's not.
It's not been. We're scrambling here. Ryan was supposed to show up, so we just last minute.
I thought it was good. We didn't think it was good. I thought we kicked ass.
It was all right. I can edit it and make it good. But like the live stream people, they might be like, oh man, this is not as good as that finely edited podcast episode I'm used to listening to.
It's better.
It's better.
You only have like 20 people watching, right?
Yeah. Well, thousands listen to the actual podcast thing. Not live though. Ground crew. Thank you, ground crew.
Yes.
Huge thank you to the ground crew. There was a chat thing in the Rumble here that was asking for money. I need to look into that. I have no idea what that is. That probably explains why it's not as chatty right now. But if you do want to support the show, our ability to do this and continue the operation, head over to pilotground.com, sign up for the ground crew, 50 cents a day, billed every other week. And yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks, Anko, for crashing the episode.
Man. Appreciate it.
You know?
Slam that beer.
Different dynamic.
You guys are welcome.
Thank you, ground crew. Appreciate it.
Thank you.